Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we'll catch up with Jerry Kaiser from Honor Flight Twin Cities, and we'll learn about the 934th Airlift Wing's Air Medical Evacuation Squadron. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General John Jensen.
More than 13,000 men and women serve in the Minnesota National Guard. But of that number, only about 2,000 serve full-time, leaving the remaining 11,000 in need of civilian employers. In the month of August, we would like to recognize all the great companies who employ our soldiers and airmen. Your support, sacrifice, and accommodation to our National Guard mission and training schedules has not gone unnoticed. Employer support allows our service members to remain focused on our important missions without worrying about how they will support themselves when they return home. On behalf of the Minnesota National Guard, I want to thank all of our military employers for their support, especially those who participate in our Beyond the Yellow Ribbon initiative.
Thank you, General Jensen. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now is Jerry Kaiser from Honor Flight's Twin Cities. Jerry, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. We haven't seen you for a while.
Yes, thank you, Tom. I appreciate it.
We've been watching you, though, and you've been busy with Honor Flights, but before we talk about those, I want to take you back to the late 60s. You're a fellow Vietnam veteran.
Yes, sir.
Can you tell us about your service?
I was went to Vietnam my first time in April of 1968. I was there till March of the next year. And my second tour was starting in August of 68 or 69 to August of 1970. So 22 months and 17 days and 6 hours, if you were counting.
And you were a Huey helicopter crew chief. And a door gunner.
Yes, sir.
And you made it anyway.
Yes, it. Well, there were lots of helicopters in Vietnam, and a lot of men didn't make it. I think there was 12,000 helicopters, of which 5,000 were destroyed, killing about 2,200 pilots and 2,800 guys like me, crew chiefs, gunners, and medics.
And I'll bet there's a whole lot more troops that made it because of you and your helicopter crew.
Yes, it was a noble cause to make sure that those men were taken care of. We took them out there to the mud and the blood and the fear, and we gave them their food and their ammo and their mail, and we took home their wounded and brought home their casualties.
Well, you did great work over there, and I'm sure there's a lot of our fellow Vietnam veterans that are alive because of you guys. Thanks, Jerry.
Well, it was an honor to do it.
Now, we've been following you for years with Honor Flight Twin Cities, but I want to go back a ways. You told me that started out with the Minnesota Vietnam Veterans Charity. Can you tell us how that evolved?
Yes, we started that with Minnesota Vietnam Veterans Charity with a car donation program with a gentleman in town who was a Marine during the Vietnam era war. Didn't go over, but he had a car he had a crosstown auto in town. And we put together a program that would earn some money for us that we could give away to other folks in the Twin Cities. And that's how Honor Flight got started, because we had nobody knew anything about us. We had no credibility factor. And so the first $65,000 to do that first flight came from Minnesota Vietnam Veterans Charity.
Now, where did the idea of doing Honor Flight Twin Cities come from?
I was approached by the director from the national headquarters after I'd put together a couple of big aviation flyovers. One was for the World War II Memorial flyover. We had like 25 airplanes, and the next year was Minnesota 150th anniversary. We put 30 airplanes up of all different types, from biplanes to Cirrus airplanes that are in Minnesota. And then the next year, it was the Vietnam Veterans Wall that they had here, and they thought that maybe I could do something like Honor Flight. That I'd never heard of it.
So Honor Flights was first put together to honor our World War II veterans, the greatest generation.
Yes, sir, and my father was one, and he was a retired Army colonel, but he passed away at age 51, and my mother passed away 10 years after that, so I was honored to be able to do this and honor them, both of them, that they had not been living for a long time. So I was pleased to be able to do this.
And you've got a very special partner in Honor Flight's Twin Cities that you refer to as the General. That's your wife, isn't it?
Yes, sir. I was in doing the Honor Flight. We have it run it in an organizational process like the military with platoons and also with squads, and we have and we run it like that. That I'm their sergeant, and so I was had a sergeant major on one of my trips from the National Guard, and he said, "You know, Jerry, you run it like a sergeant major. So here's your pin." So I tell people I promoted myself to sergeant major because I can, and I also promoted my wife to major general because she runs the show back here and keeps me in straight and narrow.
And you really couldn't do it without her, could you?
Absolutely not. She's a wonderful administrator.
And she's been your partner and put up with you for a lot of years, Jerry.
42 years.
Good work. You better take good care of that general.
That's right.
We're speaking with Jerry Kaiser from Honor Flight's Twin Cities on Minnesota Military Radio. So, Jerry, Honor Flight Twin Cities, when was the first flight?
Was September of 2008. I actually went on my first one as a trial one. I had to figure out what was going on and see whether we could do that. We were happy the way that we were trained a little bit by the folks out of Rochester, Minnesota. They're the ones that had them. And we took care of the Twin Cities. There's like over 3 or 4 million people up here. That's counting Western Wisconsin. And so we started picking that up. So this is our 20th honor flight that we're doing in September.
So how many World War II vets were on that first one? You remember?
100.
Yeah, and how many were on the last one earlier this year?
40.
40 World War II vets and now some Korean War vets.
Yes, 160. We're on the last total. 1,504 World War II, 160 Korea, and we've taken two terminally ill Vietnam veterans. I'll take them.
Now, the way you've got these things set up, it's a charter aircraft. Are you still using the same company?
Yes, Sun Country Airlines. I've paid them $1 million over the last 10 years, and we're good customers.
And it's a long day. We went with you a couple of years ago and got a dozen interviews from the vets around the trip, and it was a beautiful day, and it went well, but it's a long day.
It is, but, you know, they're totally wired. This is the change of their life. It's a spiritual, emotional day for them. This is not a day trip to the mall. This is a mission for them to remind themselves of what they did during that time, whether they're in combat or not, and to those who never made it and the families that were affected by it.
Well, I know that on that trip, the day we were there, I think it turned out to be about a 20-hour day between the time we left the house, got out to the airport, did the whole trip, got back and got back home. It was a long day, but those World War II and Korean vets that were on that flight, they were all jacked up when they got home, and they had lots of people there to greet them.
Oh, they did a great job. We had University of Minnesota's ROTC departments. We had our military people from the National Guard. I believe we even had on our flight General Best, who had just been promoted to Brigadier General in the Air Force, the first woman for Minnesota. And so we had these women veterans on this trip. They were thrilled to see that. And the other, so we had 450 people there, pipe band and Patriot Guard. It's just a wonderful thing to see. They're pretty happy.
And, Jerry, every one of those veterans has a guardian, and the veterans go for free, but the guardians pay.
Yes, these are expensive trips that cost pretty close to $88,000, and we need that $500 contribution from those guardians, and we have 400 on the waiting list to be guardians that want to do this. So they're a benefit to help us tremendously, and we get our funding from individuals and organizations that we apply for.
And, Jerry, I understand that if you've got a World War II vet in your family and you want to be a guardian and take them, you might be able to move a little closer to the front of the line.
Well, right now, if you have a World War II veteran that's a family member and they want to go, then they would go on the next one. They're ahead of the Korea veterans. And so, or I tell a fellow today, he wanted to go on a desperately as a guardian. I says, find a World War II veteran, my friend, and get him signed up.
And you're in. Jerry, we have to take a short break. When we come back, I want to talk about your upcoming honor flight on September 29th. and the mix of World War II and Korean veterans on that flight. This is Minnesota Military Radio. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been talking with the legendary Jerry Kaiser from Honor Flight's Twin Cities, and he takes all the glory, but his wife, the general, it puts everything together and keeps the trains running on time, doesn't she, Jerry?
Yes, we work in cohesiveness that is really great.
And that's what she told you this morning, and you said, yes, ma'am.
No, she's out of town, so I'm free of will.
All right, Jerry. Honor Flight Twin Cities has flown 1,504 World War II, 160 Korean War vets, two terminally ill Vietnam vets, 1,470 Guardian staff for a total of 3,135 through August this year to Washington, D.C., visiting memorials honoring them. And, of course, this all started out as the World War II honor flights. And if you'd like to contribute, if you'd like to volunteer, if you'd like to contribute some funds, if you'd like to find out more information, go to honorflighttwincities.org, and there's plenty of information there. And, Jerry, these things are expensive, so you're always raising money. You're still collecting up car donations. You're always out begging for money so that you can take more of these veterans, and they really love that day, don't they?
It is absolutely the joy that I see on their faces. They're so excited at the airport. They've waited 75 years, most of the World War II guys, and the Korea guys are just as excited about it. And the tension is big, and they are ready to rock and roll.
Now, you've got another one coming up on September 29th. Is it filled?
Absolutely, 100%. We are ready to roll.
How many World War II and how many Korean vets?
I have 30 World War II, and then I believe it's 45 Korea veterans. We've had some of the we have some 30 people drop off this for one reason or some deaths. And they're old, and but we fill them in. We got plenty of people on the waiting list.
So those veterans, along with guardians and staff, you fill up the plane. And give us a brief itinerary of the day, Jerry.
Well, first thing, they're up at 4 o'clock. Prior to this, they have a pre-flight training 1 week before the flight to acclimate everybody to what's going on. We have all their family members come to see what's going on, and they see me, and first time they're going to see me, I'm the sergeant major, and the general runs the show at that, and we tell the story about what's going to happen. We have an itinerary. They're up at 4 o'clock in the morning. They're at the airport at 5. We are airborne at 6. On the way there, they have breakfast for them. We have some other secret things that we do on before we get there. And then at 9:30 we arrive. I have pre-planned buses with food and wheelchairs on it. I do take 20 with me just in case of other things that are needed. And we'll have 4 buses. Police escort is imperative there because there'll be 9 other honor flights at the same time. So we go just like El Presidente, sirens blaring everywhere we go. And we will be going to Iwo Jima first, but we have to be flexible sometimes depending on what the traffic is. Then the Women's Memorial or the Air Force Memorial. I believe we'll have lunch at the Women's Memorial this time. Then to the travel around the city to the past the Capitol up at the top by the back of the Capitol and Supreme Court down Pennsylvania Avenue to the Navy Memorial, time permitting, then to the World War II Memorial, where we have a ceremony honoring those who never made it there. They're there for about an hour and 5 minutes, bus down to the Korea Memorial, have the same type of memorial there for the Korea veterans. There's quite a few. Then they have time to go to the Lincoln or the Vietnam Veteran Memorial. By 4:15, they need to be on the bus so we can go to the changing of the guard. You have to be at the Arlington by 4:30. They have a special thing for us. We drive up there in buses. You know, Tom, it's quite the thing to get them off there and positioned properly for the change of the guard. We do have a tomb guard from the 1950s on this flight. So we're going to have something special for them.
And then after that, you have a little dinner and you fly home.
That's right. That's about it.
And there's a special surprise waiting for them at the Humphrey Terminal when you get home because there's hundreds of people there to greet them.
Yes, it's they cannot believe anybody's up at 10:30, 11 o'clock to greet them. And it's like the homecoming that they've never had. 99% were never, ever greeted by anybody anywhere. And this is a big change for them. Their families, the biggest group we had of 30 people came up from Iowa, had T-shirts and flags for their private Slovak or whatever his name was. It was quite the show.
Jerry, when we came back from that flight, we went with you. The guys came through those doors and saw all the people. There were tears in their eyes, but they were excited and they were tired, but they had a wonderful day.
It is a day that they will never forget.
All right, that's September 29th. More information, go to honorflighttwincities.org. If you can afford to donate a little bit to help with future honor flights, that'd be great. And if you got another one coming up or you're scheduling for next spring?
Well, I'm going to have at least two a year. One guy says, well, why don't you do three? And I says, why don't you give me $90,000?
But the Lord has provided the money. And
they have two, that's right. People say, who's your fundraiser? I said, the good Lord Jesus is my fundraiser. We just cash the checks.
Jerry, you're doing a great job. Please greet the general for me when you see her next. And it's always a pleasure to have you on the show.
It's my honor. Thank you.
It was Jerry Kaiser from Honor Flight Twin Cities. Coming up next, we'll learn about the 934th Airlift Wing's Air Medical Evacuation Squadron. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we're going to learn about the 934th Airlift Wing's Air Medical Evacuation Squadron, but first it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Shelleto.
Are you interested in serving veterans? Do you strive to improve the lives of others? A career with the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs could be the right fit for you. Here at the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, our team is committed to serving Minnesota veterans and their families. We work in collaboration with various organizations to ensure that our veterans receive the care they deserve. We are constantly working to improve the means by which we serve our state's veterans and their dependents. Full-time and part-time positions are available throughout Minnesota, both in the Veterans Homes and Programs and Services Division. To find an opportunity at the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs that fits you, visit minnesotaveteran.org.
Thank you, Commissioner Shelleto. For more information, please go to minnesotamilitaryradio.com. As we said at the opening, we're going to talk today about the 934th Airlift Wing and its capabilities, and joining me to have that discussion is Major Laura Matriska and Senior Master Sergeant Kevin Cassidy. Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Major, I'll start with you. Can you tell us, share with us, how long have you been in the military?
I've been in military for 19 years. I started out as an enlisted member. I was an air medical evacuation technician for 7 years, went to nursing school, and then I commissioned as a nurse, and I've been doing flight nursing ever since.
In your position with the 934th Air Medical Evacuation Squadron now?
I am, yep. So I was a traditional reservist before, and then about 4 years ago, I took a full-time nurse position out at the squadron. So my main focus now is to train our air medical evacuation technicians and our flight nurses and make sure that they stay current in their flying skills every day so that we're always prepared.
Training, training, training. Got to be ready to go.
Yes, sir.
And Sergeant Cassidy, how long have you been in the military?
I've been in the military for 31 years.
And has it always been in the reserves?
No, I started my career in California at the Channel Islands Air National Guard. Originally, it was Van Nuys Air National Guard. And I was there for 22 years. I was a traditional guardsman for a few years, and then I became a full-time technician. And then years later, came here to the reserves at the 934th.
And your position now, sir?
I am the full-time aeromedical evacuation technician. I had the same responsibilities as Major Matriska with training our technicians and helping them stay current and qualified.
And Sergeant, did I hear that you got a promotion coming up pretty soon?
That's correct. Yes, I've been fortunate enough to have been selected to Chief Master Sergeant.
Congratulations, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Major, I'd like to talk about the 934th in general for a few minutes. 934th Airlift Wing, it's part of the campus out by the Twin Cities Airport. And on that campus, you've got you've got Air Force Reserve, but you have other reserve units there too.
We sure do. So we share the whole campus. So there's the 133rd Airlift Wing, so the National Guard. There's Army, Army Reserve. We have Marine. We have Navy. And then there's us. And with the 934th Airlift Wing, there's roughly 1,500 personnel.
Okay. And you have some aircraft out there, some C-130s?
We do. We have 8 C-130s. And their bread and butter is airlift goods, people.
And how can we tell your C-130s from the Minnesota National Guard C-130s?
Look at the tail. So the 934th, we are the Flying Vikings. So if there is a purple banner on the tail, that is us. And then the Guard, they are the Gophers. And so they'll have red with yellow to mimic the Gophers.
And Sergeant Cassidy, when we're comparing the Minnesota Air National Guard to the 934th, a little different mission because the Minnesota Air National Guard has a federal and state mission where your mission is a federal mission. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. The 934th is federal reserves, and we can be called up by the president. And like you said, the Guard has the state where the governor can call them up.
So your mission is a little different. It's in support of the nation.
It's in support of the nation. We have a wartime mission and a humanitarian mission. So we've supported on the humanitarian side, you know, Katrina. We're there to support that mission. And then we've deployed our wartime mission as well.
So Major, that means for if there's a major emergency like a hurricane or something like that, you can be asked by the Pentagon to go down and move some cargo and things with your 130s?
Yes, we sure can. Actually, last fall when there were multiple hurricanes going on, we did get notice from our headquarters, so Air Force Reserve Command, asking for volunteers. And they were looking for people to station, so whether that be in Florida or there's a big base in Illinois, Scott Air Force Base. They were looking for air medical evacuation to get those people out. But our aircraft were also doing missions in support of the hurricanes, just not together. We were not together. So
we can pull up resources from all over the country in a case like that and make sure we're getting supplies and water and everything we need to the rest of our people that are in trouble.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
We're speaking with Major Laura Matryska and Sergeant soon-to-be Chief Master Sergeant Kevin Cassidy on Minnesota Military Radio. So, Major, I want to talk a little bit now about the Aeromedical Evacuation Squadron. Can you tell us, within the 934th, how do you operate and what do you do?
So within the 934th, so we have the capability to have 10 flight aeromedical crews, and a crew is made up of two nurses and three med techs, and how we stay prepared is that we do training missions over and over. So we practice medical scenarios and aircraft scenarios, and we fly on the C-130s, but then we're also lucky enough to train on KC-135s and C-17s. So depending on the level that you are, whether you're a brand new person or you've been flying a long time, such as myself and Senior Master Sergeant Cassidy, will determine how much that you need to fly. So that our newer people are flying constantly, and then as you kind of go up, you're become the instructor and the evaluator. As far as training, so our nurses are smart. They're a lot smarter than I am. They're ER nurses, they're ICU nurses, they're nurse practitioners. And then our med techs, a fair amount of them work, you know, they're IT, but then we also have paramedics and firefighters. So we're very lucky to have the quality of people that we have in our unit.
Thank you. Sergeant Cassidy, C-130, to me, I've always thought of it as a flying tank. It can hold a lot of cargo, it can hold a lot of personnel, it can hold a lot of stuff. But when you have a mission or you want to do a training mission, how long does it take you to set up for your medical mission inside of a C-130?
Yeah, Tom, to configure the aircraft take anywhere from 30 to 45 minutes, depending on how large of the training mission we're going to be training on. We can set up the aircraft to host up to 90 ambulatory patients, or we can set up the aircraft to set 25 litters. The main part of that is getting our in-flight kits, our medical equipment on board, and we set that aircraft depending on what type of configuration we want, and we'll depend on how long that aircraft will take to be configured.
Well, if you set that up for 75 beds, that back of that C-130's got to be pretty full.
It's going to be very full.
Well, how do you must have them stacked high.
We can stack up to five high, and front to back, it's going to be very crowded with that many patients.
So your nurses in there, if they're watching and talking and taking care of those patients, they must be climbing around an awful lot.
Yeah, there would be a lot of climbing around with that many patients, but we hope never to see that.
Major, I hope all your people are in pretty good shape if they're doing that.
They have to be.
A flying C-130 and climbing up and down all those beds to check on your patients.
Absolutely.
Sounds pretty exciting.
It gets a little bumpy sometimes, so yeah, we're used to it.
Now, we just got a couple of minutes left in this segment, but it's my understanding that you go out on deployments rather frequently these days, and it's been going on since 9/11/2001. So if you're a member of the 934th, if you're a member of the medical Air Medical Evacuation Squadron, how often do you think you get deployed?
Well, Tom, every 17 months we come up into our rotation, and depending on what the need is, will depend on how many nurses, med techs, other career fields that we have, admin, logistics, MSC officers, on who will go out the door. Early on in the war, we were sending out 30, 40 at a time. Now we're sending out about 10, 11 at a time. But you'll go out on a deployment, and the following deployment, you probably won't go out because there's just other people that have a need to support the mission as well.
Now, when the Army goes out, they usually go out as a unit, and they sometimes go for 11, 12 months or even longer. But when you go out, it's a shorter period of time usually, isn't it?
Yes, that's great. Yeah, we go for 120 days. That's our deployment time frame. And we don't go as a whole unit. We share our deployment responsibilities with three other AFRIC units, and those are our sister units. So we know that we're going to go out with those units every rotation. Our wing, that's a little bit different. They go out as a unit. Our aircraft and maintenance and pilots and co-pilots and the other flying position, they go out in a much larger mass. So we're a lot fewer, and unlike the Army, it's 120 days. So I'd say we're fortunate to not go for a year. That's a pretty big commitment.
So, Major, I think what I heard there is if there's a long-term mission at one particular location, there's four different units that rotate through there 120 days at a time. Is that how that works?
Yep, so that is for Air Force Reserve, but then when we deploy, we're also with the National Guard, because they have air medical evacuation as well, and active duty. So even though we may send 10 people, for an example, you might not be on a crew with anybody else from your unit because they rainbow everybody together. So you could meet four other people that you've never met before. But it works out well because we all go through the same school. We all have the same regulations. We all have the same equipment. So that's why it works for aero medical evacuation.
So Guard or Reserves, if you're out, you work together, you've been trained properly, you can mix and match, kind of.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
All right. We've got to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk more about the 934th Airlift Wing's Air Medical Evacuation Squadron. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been talking today about the 934th Airlift Wing's Air Medical Evacuation Squadron. We've been visiting with Major Laura Matryska and Senior Master Sergeant Kevin Cassidy. And Sergeant Cassidy, I want to talk to you for a minute. Now, we were talking off the air about places you go, and I was trying to get an example of the type of work you do. Can you start with, let's say, your team's in Afghanistan? When would you receive patients, and what kind of shape would they be in, and where would you be taking them?
Sure, Tom. We get our patients, we'll fly down to Afghanistan or into Iraq. We'll base out of Ramstein, Germany, and go down there and pick up our patients. And generally our patients are considered stabilized for flight, which means, you know what, they're not really out of the harm's way, but we're going to try to safely fly them back to a higher echelon of care. So we can start in Afghanistan and end up in Germany 8 hours later, 10 hours later, and then take another mission into bringing our boys and girls back to the States.
So when you let's say you start in Afghanistan and you pick up 20 patients and you're going to Germany, you probably have to know how they were injured and what might happen on that flight, and then have your team prepared to react and keep them alive, get them to Germany.
Absolutely. When we're starting our day, our team, again, like Major Matryska had mentioned, two flight nurses and three EMTs, three aeromedical evacuation technicians, we'll get an idea of what our patients are. It could be trauma, burns, and everything in between and outside of that. And so we'll get a somewhat of a perspective of what our patients are. And then what we do and what specializes us is that we're going to look at those patients and think, we have seven stresses of flights that we have to worry about. And depending on that injury, that patient, we may have to focus a little bit more on that particular injury. As we mentioned up air, like let's say you had a patient had a broken leg, external fixator, turbulence is probably going to be a problem. So we might want to consider pain management, maybe putting a pillow or some padding around that patient's leg to transport him as comfortably as possible.
So you take them from that after they've had the early care on the ground, take them over to Germany. Then you might, patients that have survived and gotten better in Germany, you might bring them back to the United States.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's amazing the treatment that we have in the field. We have hospitals that are set up in the field.
Major, we were talking off the air a little bit about your capabilities and what they can do in the field. You know, when I was in Vietnam, we'd throw the injured on a chopper, get them back to the aid station, and hopefully they made it, and then that's where they get their first care. But you indicated that initial care that they get, say in Afghanistan or Kuwait, pretty darn good.
It's really amazing. So I was just at an exercise with the Army, and to kind of give you a picture of where the Air Force is in the en route paging or patient staging system, is so the Army, they're going to have a combat surgical hospital, but with that they may have a forward surgical team that can forward deploy to wherever that injured member is, operate on them if they need to, then, or they can go to the combat surgical hospital, and from there our C-130s can fly, and if there's a dirt strip or a runway, if they're near that, then we will come in and pick up those patients, and then we will take them up to the hospital. So just the capabilities that they have, I mean, they can have a full hospital with OR, ICU capabilities, they'll have a pharmacy, so they're really taking very, very good care of their...
Out in the field.
They are, which makes our job a lot easier.
That's good to know. Sergeant Cassidy, when we're talking about your teams in the 934th Air Medical Evacuation Squadron, imagine you're looking for new recruits all the time.
Absolutely.
Do you look for people that are already trained, or can you take some people right out of high school and provide the training? How does it work?
Tom, we are open for everybody. We can take them right out of high school. They can be, if they're already EMT certified, that's great. But you don't have to have any training whatsoever. We're going to train you. The Air Force is going to train you. You're going to go to school. You're going to come out as a med tech. You're going to be a nationally registered EMT. So you're going to be able to use your skill sets right off the bat. So just recently, we just recruited a kid that's in high school. He's going to start his senior year. And then when he graduates, he'll be in the military and we'll send him off to school.
So if some of our listeners were just about to graduate from high school, say next year, and they were interested in joining your Air Medical Evacuation Squadron, they could come out, join, go to basic training, go to school, and by the time they're off active duty and trained up, they could get a job in the civilian world and still get more education and practice with the 934th.
Absolutely, that's correct. Some of our technicians will even go beyond just being EMT. They'll come back and they'll pursue further education. Some become paramedics. Some of them go on to nursing school, and then they end up like Major Matryska, getting their commission and become a flight nurse.
Major, it sounds like for all our young people out there, if they want to get into the medical profession and get some travel around the world and have some excitement, take care of our wounded soldiers and airmen, they should probably come talk to you.
They should. This is one of the best decisions that I have ever made in my life, hands down. I have been so many places throughout the world that I know I've never would have seen. the leadership opportunities that I've had, the education, and the people that I've met within the reserves has been wonderful. So I highly, highly recommend it.
Major, Sergeant, I'd like to thank you for joining us today on Minnesota Military Radio and taking time out of your busy schedule to come share your story with us. And I hope some of our listeners call and talk to your recruiters at the 934th. And anybody that's interested in a medical career, that'd be quite a way to start. So thanks for joining me today.
Thank you, Tom.
Thank you, Tom.
That was Major Laura Matryska and Sergeant Major Kevin Cassidy from the 934th Airlift Wing's Air Medical Evacuation Squadron. Joining me now from the flag line of the Minnesota Patriot Guard is Tim Leonhard. Tim, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. Thanks for coming to the studio again.
Well, thank you, Tom. It's always a great pleasure to be here.
Well, it's summertime, so it's another excuse to get on that motorcycle, isn't it?
Of course.
And you arrived safely today. Please, all of our listeners out there, watch for motorcycles. How's the traffic, Tim?
Actually, it's not too bad. You know, it's getting a little bit heavy now because it's vacation and everybody's off work and they're getting ready to go and not really paying attention to what's going on the road, but hopefully our riders are.
Okay. Now, Minnesota Patriot Guard, tell us about what kind of missions you go on.
Well, we go on anything we're invited to, pretty much, as long as it's related to the military. We have active duty funerals that we attend. There's veterans' funerals that we attend just to show honor, dignity, and respect. We're there for departures when we have soldiers leaving. We're there when they come home. We go to the vets' homes and visit with our veterans, which is an awesome thing to do. If you want to hear some stories and visit with some people that have some real history, you got to go to the veterans' homes.
They do have some stories if you take the time to listen, don't they?
Oh, they do.
And they're probably some pretty good ones, Tim.
They are. Oh, they are.
Now, Tim, I understand that recently, in the last few months, you went to a repatriation ceremony. We got a soldier back that had been missing for 66 years.
Yes.
Yep. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, that was a very interesting funeral. I went there and I met with the family, and the family had been waiting for 66 years for Harry to return. 66 years. And every year they would meet at the cemetery and celebrate his life until he got home. And it was interesting because it was sad because they finally realized that he had passed and they were happy that he was home.
Now, were any of his siblings, I'm sure his parents weren't still alive.
No, he had no siblings left. They were all passed. The only people who were left was his nieces and nephews, and they carried on the tradition of having this on. And they were ready to pass it off into their children.
Now, Tim, I see every time we get one of these old soldiers or airmen back from World War II or Korea, it's a big event.
It is.
A lot of the town turns out. How many riders came to that one?
Well, we had about 200 riders that day, and it was awesome. We had the Air Force. He was Air Force. Air Force arranged a flyover and the whole works. It was a big event.
So it was a big event in town. We're out in Dayton.
Yes, Dayton, Minnesota, a little town. We pretty much took over the town with parking for our motorcycles.
Well, if they see 200 motorcycles coming into town, they probably didn't know what to think.
Yeah, well, we escorted them to the cemetery, and the cemetery was less than a block away, so we didn't even ride our motorcycle. We just lined the street, and when the military carried the casket down to the cemetery, and we just folded in behind them and walked the whole distance, and it was an awesome sight.
You must have doubled the size of that town that day.
Oh, we did.
Well, that was great. I'm sure his nieces and nephews were impressed. And boy, what a way to show honor, dignity, and respect to a veteran from a prior war.
Oh yeah, I was impressed because this family had been so active, keeping his memory alive for 66 years.
And Tim, we've seen in the news lately that we've recovered some bodies from Korea, from North Korea.
Yep.
And they're trying to identify them. And I've got some early news that at least one of them is from Minnesota. And
yep.
I'm sure you'll turn out in good numbers for that, too.
We will. You know, we just need the invite, and we'll be there.
Well, Tim, you're doing great work on those funerals, but the fun part of the job is, it's not a job, but the fun part of your duty is the return home ceremonies when we get our soldiers and airmen back from deployments.
Yes.
But unfortunately, we've got a departure ceremony coming up because we've got a whole bunch of soldiers from the 34th Infantry Division, Red Bull, going to Kuwait.
Yep. We do.
You don't have any details on that
one? We don't have any details yet, but we'll keep our calendars updated, and we'll get our messages out to our people as the information comes in.
And we've heard from a lot of those soldiers that they just love it when they see you there for departures, and they like it even better when they come home.
Oh, yeah. We like it when they come home, too. It's just an awesome thing to be into.
Tim, where's your website?
It's mnpatriotguard.org.
And anyone can join, not just the Vietnam veterans.
Yep, you don't even have to have a motorcycle, just transportation to get to wherever the mission is.
So you go to that website and you sign up and you're in.
Yep.
Tim, thanks for coming to the studio again today.
I appreciate you having us here.
That was Tim Leonard from the flag line of the Minnesota Patriot Guard. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Jerry Kaiser from Twin Cities Honor Flight, Major Laura Matriska, Senior Master Sergeant Kevin Cassidy, Tim Leonhardt from the flag line of the Minnesota Patriot Guard, Commissioner Larry Shelito of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General John Jensen. Please join us next week as we record live from the 9th Annual Minnesota Military Family Foundation Golf Classic at Bunker Hills Golf Club in Coon Rapids. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at minnesotamilitaryradio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at minnesotamilitaryradio.com.